excuse me, 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, verse 9 through 14. But as it is written, every eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural mind, excuse me, the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we're going to be reading tonight, and I'm going to be speaking from 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, you're going to say, what does this scripture that I just read have anything to do with this? Ask the Lord, and he will tell you. Amen? He will speak to you very clearly. I've been studying this now for a while, and tonight as I was preparing, I was reading it more and more and more and more, and all of a sudden, into my spirit came that, who knows the mind of God? Who knows the Spirit of God? Who knows the spirit of man? So I had to go to the Scriptures to find out where that was coming from. So I feel this is what God wants us to concentrate on. It's His Spirit, His wisdom, His truth, not man's, not mine. I hope you came tonight to hear the Lord and not me. Amen? Because it's the Holy Spirit. I emphasize Him so much. So many people disregard the Holy Spirit. They do. They don't even consider Him part of the Trinity. But He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or Spirit, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But it's Him and Him alone working in our spirits to commune with the Spirit of God. Amen? All right. So I'm not sure how far I'm going to get tonight, but we'll get there. So it's 2 Peter 3, I'm going to read 1 through 7. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get. Beloved, I now write to you the second time, the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remember, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I'm going to read 8 too. I'm not sure if I'll get there. But indeed, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Father, we thank you again that we have this wonderful opportunity to share your word with one another and allow your Holy Spirit in our souls, Lord, to bring forth this truth that you want us to know, that you want us to truly remember constantly, and that will never leave our minds, our soul, and our spirit. But you surely, my Lord and my God, by your Spirit, if we let you, if we allow you to truly bring these to our remembrance, it's especially in these last days, Father. We need this teaching. We need this urging. We need this pricking in our soul, in our minds, Lord God, to truly remember all the promises, all the truth that is ours, this authority that you have penned by holy men many thousands of years ago. We thank you for this. Let us truly walk in the way, the true way, the way that you will lead us by your Spirit. May we truly, truly, Lord God, allow your Spirit to truly open up our understanding that we may truly be obedient to the promises, to the Word, and we will walk in truth, and we will walk in peace, because the Prince of Peace has promised us that he would send us another Comforter, and he has come, and he is with us, and he is in us. So this night, Father, by his power, may your truth expound in our hearts and our minds as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of that blessed one. Everybody said, amen. I've already said a lot, haven't I? Okay. He's already written to him this second epistle. So we all read the first epistle, I hope, haven't we? So now, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder. Who is our reminder? The Holy Spirit, isn't he? He brings to our memory all the things that were written that we read. And once you reach a certain age, I'm not going to say what age, your memory starts to fade. Amen? Of course, our pastor is not aware of that yet. He's so young. He is the one who will remind us. If we are diligent and we're true and we truly want the fullness of the Lord in our heart, we will read His Word. We will allow that Word become alive while we're reading it. And regardless of what happens tomorrow, I know it's still going to be there, whether I can remember it or not. But He's promised me, He's promised you, that at the time that you're needed, we don't have to worry. He will bring to remembrance what is planted in our heart as we continue reading, allowing the Holy Spirit to stir us up in our souls and our spirit. There are some days I am so hungry, all I do is read. Then there's other days that I have no desire to read. I know I'm the only one in the room like that, but it happens. But those days that He puts that hunger in me, I just can't get enough of it. And I want more and more. And I wasn't kidding you. As I get older, my memory's starting. Arlene can tell you. 2 weeks ago, I can't tell you what happened. But these things happen. When it comes to the Word of God, I don't worry anymore. It was bothering me. When this first started happening in my life, I figured, oh, here we go. I'm in my 70s. Here comes the big A. But it doesn't matter. It's in my heart. And I'll never lose it there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't worry anymore. If it happens, it happens. I'm still in God's hand, and He still has my mind. I might lose it, but He still has it. And His Word is forever within me because He lives in me. Amen? So He's our reminder. But Peter's telling us here, he's writing this to stir up your pure minds. What does he mean by the pure mind? To stimulate to wholesome thinking. What is wholesome thinking? It's God's Word, isn't it? Can you get this wholesome penetration in our soul and our spirit any place other than this book? There's no other book. None. I can't get any wisdom apart from this book. I can read a lot of commentaries. Okay? I've got tons of commentaries. And every one of them's different. Who do I believe? I believe His Word. Scripture interprets Scripture. No other book written will interpret itself page after page after page. We have that promise of the Holy Spirit, and it's proven in His Word. No matter where I go in this Word, who would have thought that some man in Green Valley, Arizona, would do a teaching to me and find Jesus in some of these books in the Bible? Who would have thought, huh? Who would have thunk? But there it was. We have learned so much here, and I'm not puffing him up. He's still a man, okay? And he still makes mistakes. but God has used him in my life. I don't care about anybody else. In my life, he's used so much to teach me. And my knowledge now has gone leaps and bounds in just a little over a year because it's the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit now to teach me through his Word, not through a man. I've sat under many men teachers. Now I'm sitting under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So it's to stir up our pure mind. Now how do we get a pure mind? By watching the Golf Channel? That's Mikey. He knows. You ought to hear him and I sometimes. It doesn't help us spiritually at all. Thank you. That word practicing. Now, to practice it, you have to be what? Obedient. If he said do it, do you do it? Or you just ignore it? And part of this, I hope I can get to it. There's so much that I feel that I'm supposed to say. I got to keep going, okay? But the pure mind only comes through the pure Word. And it has to come through the influence of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that guides us, that directs us as we read this. Not just here, but Genesis to the book of Maths, right? So all of it is for our benefit. What is our benefit? To be more like Christ. Isn't that what the Father wants? Isn't that why he allows things to happen into our lives? So we're going to stop asking why and just say, okay, what? How do you want it, Lord? What do I need more? Amen? So it's the pure mind, and we only get the pure mind by the influence of the pure one. Who is more pure than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit? None. None whatsoever. So if our minds are going to be pure, and Paul says, I stir up your pure mind. So if we have the mind of Christ, then we have what? To keep it pure, we have to do what? Be obedient, stay in the Word, and if he says do it, do it. Amen? I want the fullness of him in my life, but I know that I'll never have that till the day I close my eyes. But that's what I'm looking for. And I found out, I went online a couple weeks ago, and I saw my name there with a message. So it had a title, and I never gave it a title. Thank you, son. So you can pick any title out you want for this one. You can call Stir Up Your Mind, Scoffers, or whatever you want to do. All right? So, okay. So the pure mind, the only way we have a pure mind, the only way we get a pure mind is from the pure one. Or I should say the purest one. Amen? All right. By way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. What words do you think were spoken by the holy prophets? The Old Testament, right? His word never changes, right? The Old Testament says you will love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole spirit, and all your strength, right? It's no different then than it is today. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And how do we do this? Not with my thinking, but by his influence in my life, making my mind, my thinking, my whole being focused and concentrated upon him and his word and what he has promised. Amen? And also, if you remember, the Lord said, I am holy, and I will be worshipped in what? And truth. I will be worshipped in spirit and truth. Not by my intellect, and not by truth from apart from this, because in reality, there truly is no truth apart from this. So if I'm going to worship the Father, I have to worship him in the Spirit, through the Spirit, and in truth, his truth. So if I worship the Father, I worship the Father because the Word says he is holy, he is pure, he is merciful, he's almighty, he's all-knowing. Amen? So if I'm worshiping the Father, I'm worshiping who he is and speaking who he is to him, spirit to spirit. And then when I know that, I know there's no conflict. I know there's no deception. Now, if I want to speak to him naturally, then there's going to be deception. But spirit to spirit, there is no deception. Because who's in charge? The Spirit. His Spirit. Speaking through my Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us from the inside out. And you know when you were saved, when you truly were walking with the Lord, what an awesome feeling. Nothing could touch me. I believed that He was going to do everything imaginable. We lost our business and everything, but we were the happiest family. Arlene used to make homemade soup, all this stuff. I haven't had homemade soup in years. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to bring out. That's what I want back again. I want that true faith that was so embedded, so deep in my soul. I didn't care what happened. I didn't care what we didn't have, but because we had Him. Amen? What a wonderful walk it was. It still is, but it's like John was talking in Revelation. You kind of lose your first. It was so powerful. It was so strong. I want more of that again. And it's only going to come by remembering and allowing my mind to be stirred by that Holy Spirit, by that Word, as I read the Word, as He embeds it into my spirit, into my heart, into my whole soul. And that's what I want again. I want that. I want that walk again. Walking on a little cloud, you know. That was wonderful. And I know someday, His Word, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And would somebody go to Jude and the second chapter? Somebody read Jude 16 and 18, please. 16 and then 18. According to their own godly lust. Now, if you guys are still looking for chapter 2, forget it. Arlene and I were going to a fellowship. And great teacher. But as the days went on, he more and more walked away with his teaching from the rapture of the church. It got progressively bad. So, to me, that was a scoffer. Because I know at one time, he professed to believe in the rapture of the church. This I know for a fact. But as he progressively gained in knowledge, okay, as he grew more in knowledge of God's Word, that he could show Scripture where it kind of disproved the rapture, but he didn't tear out Thessalonians or a few others, but it just bypassed them. So that is a true, from my perspective and my walk with the Lord, reading His Word, that is a scoffer, in my opinion. Not apostate, yeah, apostate. But I believe Peter, at that time, there were supposedly believers then that were denying a lot of the teaching that was taught to them from the time that Christ came, and even the Old Testament. And we have so much more of it now. If you watch these guys, and I had a gentleman this morning come to the house, and Gary knows him. He's our yard man. He came this morning. He's having some real serious problems. His dad had a couple strokes and everything, and he's in a bad shape. And then his daughter, she's only 25. She just had a baby, I guess, about a year ago, Gary. And I guess it was a really tough birth and everything. So now only 50% of her heart is working. So the man's got a lot of things going. And I was talking to him, and I says, "How are you doing spiritually?" I couldn't believe what he told me, but anyway. He says, "Well, he's really sincere." But he says, "Well, my family and I get together. First thing I thought about was hosting our good buddies." So I shouldn't have, but I felt that I had to do this. I said, "Don't listen to anything he has." I said to him, I says, "Don't listen to anything that man has to say." I says, "All he is a motivational speaker." So I just started sharing with him about the Lord and everything. And a couple of years ago, I bought a whole bunch of little New King James, the Apostle, okay, the Book of John, the real Book of John. So I gave him one. He says, "All your Anthony, just this book here." Then I prayed with him. And the man was crying. I never expected anything, you know, working in lives, and I started sharing all these books. So the Lord gave me this opportunity to share with him the truth because of his promise to each and every one of us. If we will diligently, then we never have to worry about what we have to say or when we have to say it or what time we have to say it to anybody that will come into our lives, that God brings into your life, and they're hurting. And I think it was you tonight. So many people dying all around us. We never know when. And if we believe, and if we're faithful, and we listen to the Holy Spirit, then God will use us if we want to be used. But it's up to us. We have to be obedient. We have to go. We don't have to go. We don't even have to leave our yard. I'm not saying stay in your yard. Wherever we are, if we're willing and we're obedient and we're reading his word and God's impregnated into our minds and our souls, then when that person comes that's hurting, that needs something, we will have the answer for that person. And I truly believe that if he reads that book tonight like he said he would, God's going to do a work and he never goes back on a promise. You and I do what he does. So that I truly believe this, knowing first that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. But if we're true and faithful, we will never fall into any traps. We won't be listening to these scoffers. I don't know who said this. I don't know if Hitler said it or who said it. But if you repeat a lie enough times, people will believe it. Amen? And that's true. And that's true. And here's another truth. If you repeat this word often enough, diligently enough, faithfully enough, people will believe it. Because it'll be the Holy Spirit speaking to them, not us. It'll be the Spirit speaking through the word. Faith cometh by hearing the word. He does not do anything apart from his word, because salvation is through him. Amen? You can't go wrong if you stay within the parameters of his word. You'll never go wrong. You'll never be deceived. We will never fall away, because he's promised us. We're in his hand, and nothing can snatch us out. We can walk away, but nothing can. Let the scoffers come. We have the truth to share to the people that God brings to us. A lot of people watch Joel, see, and listen to him. A lot of quote-unquote Christians. But you know where I stand. I'm Christian. If you're born again, you're a Christian. If you're not born again, you're just somebody with a label. Because ours is a relationship. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What's he talking about there? He goes on and talks about the flood and everything, doesn't he? What was happening when Noah was building the boat? He didn't know what he was building, but he knew he had the plan, so he was building something, waiting for the flood, waiting for the rains. They didn't even know what rain was. There was no such thing as rain. But the father said, build it. And for, I think it was, 100 years? 120? 120 years he was building that little skit, getting everything together. But you know what he was doing for those 120 years as he was building it? He was preaching. What was he preaching? God's word. Hey, it's coming, folks. Come on. I've got plenty of room. I can take all the animals. I can take anybody that wants to come. But nobody came. They were walking by laughing at him. Look at that idiot. He's building a what? A boat. What's a boat? Well, the floods are... Flood? How are you going to... Flood? They were scoffers. This is what he's talking about. Same thing today. We're crazy. Everybody in this room is a nut. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. They could be out at the... We could all be out down at a bar now and have a good time dancing. You know, swinging. I don't know about Mikey and I. But, you know. But these things could be going on. And they are going on. They're laughing and scoffing. Everything. The world's going crazy. People all over the world are getting their heads cut off. They're starving. They're starving to death. And some man says, I will give Trump $100 million to keep him going. And it's only going to take $10 billion total to get him into the White House. People are starving to death. Not just over there, right here. The hills of West Virginia. America. West Virginia, America. Kids are going to bed hungry at night. For they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Willfully. This is what I wanted to get to, and I'm going to close with this. Willfully. Can somebody give me a quick definition of willfully? Intentional, saying no. Now, everybody in this room has some sort of ignorance, because we all do. I didn't say stupid, I said ignorance to some things. Now, there's some people that are ignorant because lack of teaching, lack of information, and so on and so forth. Then there's other people that are ignorant because they want to be ignorant. They can live that way, you know, and just living, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, so on and so forth. So that's being willingly ignorant. And there's a lot of that in the fellowships, willfully ignorant. And this is the world, they're willfully being ignorant of the things of God because they want what they want when they want it, and they don't want any interference from anybody else. Regardless of what we say, when we're speaking the word of God, the truth, they're willfully being ignorant of it. They don't want any part of it. We can be willfully ignorant ourselves if we want to be. I don't want to be. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life to speak to me when I am being willfully wrong. And I am often. And I thank the Lord God, the Father of mercies and grace, that He shows it to me. And I ask for the forgiveness, and it's there. That's the beauty of my walk now, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am truly sinful right to the core. But He still died for me. He still shed that blood for me. And He still promised me, Jim, just come to me when you fall. Ask for my forgiveness, because it's there. Don't run away from me. Don't try to hide. Don't try to do it on your own. Just fall at my feet, knowing full well that I'll never turn you away. That's the beauty. That's willfully being knowledgeable of this truth in our lives. His truth. It'll never change. We will change, but His truth will never change. So I want to be willfully in His will constantly in my life, but I know I'm not, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't leave me. He's faithful to His word. And this is what I wanted to bring about tonight, that His word is true, but we have to be diligent. We have to be obedient. We can't be willfully ignorant of it, because we're not going to get away with it. He won't let us, and I praise Him for it. He's a wonderful Lord and Master. He has everything that I need, and He'll always give me what I need. And I know this. He's been doing it now for how many years, Arlene? 40 years. And I don't think He's going to stop. He's true to His word. And this is what I want us to learn tonight. I know I didn't present it fully the way I wanted to, but I might get an opportunity. But this is what I want us to go away with tonight. This should be our attitude, a pure mind, and being willfully walking after Him, allowing His word to just totally engulf us. This is what I want. It's one thing to know the word, but it's another thing to be obedient to the word. And the only way you're going to be obedient to the word, because it has to be encapsulated in your whole being, not just mental gymnastics. Your soul and your spirit will soar when you know the word of God is working in your life. Because you're obedient and you want to do what He wants us to do. Amen?